Will you please turn in your Bibles to the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonian church and chapter 2. Here is the reference again, the second epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, and I shall read verse 3. It is quite important that you have your Bible open at this chapter as we bring another message on the question, will the church pass through the tribulation? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3 we read, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that is the day of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now this second epistle to the Thessalonians was written by Paul to correct a false teaching concerning the church and the tribulation. According to the Bible, this age will end in apostasy and war, and culminate in a period of trouble, sorrow, war, death, and destruction without any precedent in all of history. This period of time, now rapidly approaching, we believe, is called in Scripture the tribulation. At the close of this tribulation time, Jesus will return personally to this earth, destroy the man of sin, the Antichrist, fully restore Israel to the land of Canaan, and then will set up his messianic millennial kingdom of 1,000 years here upon the earth with Jerusalem as the capital. The Bible is equally clear that before this tribulation of the last days sets in, our Lord will return for his church, will shout from the air, and the dead in Christ shall arise, to be joined by all the living believers of that time, and to gather, be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, far, far away from the tribulation coming upon this world. The order of prophetic events then is as follows, and we'd like to have you get it. The next event, we believe, will be the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Antichrist will be revealed here on the earth and set up his false millennial kingdom. After 3.5 years, he will plunge the nations into the last great global atomic war, seek to destroy the nation of Israel completely and finally, and then prevent the return of the Lord Jesus Christ with his church to this earth to set up his kingdom. Now this last battle of the ages is called the Battle of Armageddon, and will be terminated only by the personal return of the Lord Jesus to defeat the Antichrist and his armies and to set up his throne in the city of Jerusalem. Now this program was the clear revelation of the Scriptures and accepted by all of the early saints of the church age and believed by the church in every age of history and is called in Scripture that blessed hope. But the devil hates this truth and he seeks to pervert it and to rob it of its blessing for the children of God as well as its warning for the unsaved. And so from the earliest apostolic days, Satan has brought to bring in false doctrine through false teachers who taught that the church would not be raptured either before the millennium or the tribulation period. In Paul's day, these errors were already taught and were quite prevalent. First, there were those who taught in Thessalonica that the dead in Christ would not be raised until after the millennial kingdom age. This greatly disturbed the believers, and they came to Paul with this vexing question. And in answer to this false post-millennial teaching of those days, Paul wrote the first epistle to the Thessalonians, the first book of the New Testament to be written, and says in chapter 4 in those familiar words, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now in this first epistle to the Thessalonians, Paul sets the hearts of the believers at rest with the assurance that the next event for them to look for is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, not after the millennium, but before the millennium sets in. But this first error was hardly corrected by the Apostle Paul, when Satan foisted a second error upon the believing church. Paul wrote his first epistle to establish the pre-millennial rapture. The second error, however, was in regard to the pre-tribulation rapture. Evidently, someone had written a forged letter to the Thessalonian church and had signed Paul's name to it. This is very evident from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You have your Bible open. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now notice the first two verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Literally, this verse should read, be not so soon shaken in your mind by so-called spirit or a word or even a letter written over my signature as though the tribulation were already here. Now this false, spurious letter with Paul's name forged at the end informed the believers at Thessalonica that the troubles and the tribulations which they were then experiencing were already the tribulation of the latter days. Naturally, they were confounded and confused, for Paul had clearly taught them in the first epistle that they would be caught out before the tribulation set in. If this then was the tribulation through which they were passing, these persecutions, then it meant, of course, that they had been left behind, for the rapture would already then be passed. No wonder that they were alarmed and disturbed. How would you, my friend, feel if you awoke some morning and found that the rapture had already taken place and you were still here and had been left behind and had to pass through the tribulation period while all the other saints of God had been taken away? I'm sure that it would also greatly disturb you. And so as soon as Paul hears about this false teaching and the disturbance it caused in Thessalonica, he hastens to write this second epistle to the Thessalonian church for the express purpose of assuring the believers that they will never have to pass through the tribulation. He says, in essence, don't you believe anyone who makes such an assertion, even if they quote Scripture, even if they quote me, even though you have a letter with my signature attached to it. Don't you believe a word of it. And that is the force of the words of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let me quote it again. Let no man deceive you by any means. And then he gives his argument to prove that the rapture will occur before the tribulation period. Now follow carefully with your Bible open from the 3rd to the 5th verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, that is the day of the Lord that he's talking about, shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Now notice, two things, says the Apostle Paul, must happen before the day of the Lord, which is another name for the tribulation, can set in upon the earth. Will you notice these two things very, very carefully, because they are basic and fundamental. Paul says before the day of the Lord, the tribulation can come. First, there must be a falling away. Second, the man of sin must be revealed. That's evident. Now the expression falling away is apostasios in the Greek. It may refer to a religious apostasy, which we believe is here today, or as some would affirm, it means a catching away rather than a falling away. Some scholars, good scholars, translate the phrase as follows. That day, the day of the tribulation, cannot come until there be a catching away first. Now, we're not dogmatic about this, but if this is the correct translation, then it is, of course, an outright statement that the church will be raptured and caught away first before the tribulation period. However, you can take your choice of these two interpretations. Now, the second thing before the tribulation can begin is, according to Paul, the revelation of the man of sin, the Superman, the Antichrist, who will rule during this tribulation period. Now, we are to note very definitely this following point. Don't miss it. The day of the Lord, the tribulation, cannot come until the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. No other construction can be put on the words of Paul. The sign of the tribulation, then, is the identification of the Superman, the Antichrist. But now follow the language of Paul closely. The man of sin, the Antichrist, cannot be revealed until after the catching away of the church. Now notice, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice verses 6 and 7. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth or hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then, and not till then, shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. From these verses, then, we learn that, according to Paul, there is a power in this world today which is restraining and holding back the devil, called the mystery of iniquity, holding him back from introducing the man of sin upon the scene of action. Certainly no other interpretation can possibly be placed on the words. Listen again. Only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. There is then, according to these clear words, a power and a person able to hinder and hold back and restrain the devil in this dispensation. Now notice several things about this power. First, he is a person. The personal pronoun he is used. Only he who now hindereth will hinder until he be taken out of the way. It's a person. Secondly, it must be a supernatural person. No created being is able to restrain Satan. Even Michael the archangel was no equal for Satan, but turned him over to the Lord and said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Jude, verse 9. So he must be a person. Third, from these facts we conclude that the he of 2 Thessalonians 2:7 is none other than deity. Since the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is dwelling on the earth in the body of Christ and in the believer since Pentecost, he is the only person in this world who can hinder Satan from revealing the man of sin in his time. He came to dwell in the church, the body of Christ, on the day of Pentecost, and according to Jesus, was to abide with us even until the end of the age. Now, will you notice further? First, the day of the Lord cannot come until the man of sin is revealed. This is made perfectly clear in verse 3. I repeat it again, verse 3. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Second, notice, the man of sin cannot be revealed until the Holy Spirit, dwelling in the body of Christ, is taken out of the way. This is evident from verse 7, and we repeat that again. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hindereth will hinder, until he, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in the body of Christ, be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Notice in the third place that the tribulation cannot come so long as the church, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, is here in the world. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now it seems to us that this argument of Paul is so conclusive and so convincing that we must repeat it once more, just to drive it home to your heart. According to Paul, the tribulation period cannot come until there be a falling away first and the Antichrist is revealed. But this Antichrist cannot be revealed as long as the person of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the body of believers is here upon the earth. Therefore, there is only one conclusion left, and that is that the church will be taken out before the tribulation, and immediately afterwards the Antichrist will make his appearance upon the scene of action. Do you realize that the only thing which is preventing world collapse today and the last atomic war of the ages culminating in the Great Tribulation is the presence in this world of a little company a minority of spiritual believers, born-again followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, greatly ignored but indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Though this company, a minority of born-again believers, are not recognized, though often, I repeat, ignored and despised, their presence is, after all, the one and only thing which prevents the complete collapse of civilization. The most important people in all the world, in view of the coming judgment, are that body of true born-again believers, who are the only ones who are holding back the hand of judgment of Almighty God upon this earth. As long as we are here in the world, the Lord will not pour out the vials of his wrath, according to his sure promise. But no sooner will they be gone in the rapture of the church, which may occur at any moment, than the Superman will take over the stage, and all hell will break loose upon the earth, and earth's final bath of blood will be setting in. Oh, how we do thank God that we belong by faith to that company to whom Jesus said in Luke 21:36, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Time does not permit us to give other arguments in favor of the pre-tribulation rapture in this message. We'll conclude it next week. But we trust that this has settled in your mind the absolute fact that the Lord Jesus Christ may come any moment, and has produced in your heart the absolute confidence that shall result in a looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we'd like to make this thing personal again to you who are believers, to you who have been born again. My friend, is your house in order? Remember, as we pointed out before, there will be those who will be ashamed at his coming. Oh, if you knew that he might come before tomorrow morning, how you'd get busy and set your house in order. And yet, beloved, it's possible he may come at any moment. And then to you who are still without Christ, oh, I dread to think of what you'll have to face when the Antichrist is revealed with all his deception and all his delusion, and this world goes through the great final travel, greater than anything that has ever happened before, greater than the flood of Noah, and you be left outside in darkness to perish. But the door is still open. Won't you, therefore, right now, at your radio, in these last few closing seconds, look into the face of the Savior who is coming again. Trust him. Believe that he died and rose for you, and ask him to save you. And then believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.